order of service for this morning, it's the order of matins, is found on page 32. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O come, let us worship the Lord.
O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful.
We now continue with the reading of the introit as printed in your bulletin insert. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. May be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. But thou, Lord, have mercy upon us. Our epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please rise. The gospel is from Mark chapter 7. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. You may be seated for the hymn of the day.
Brothers and sisters of Christ, at Zion Lutheran Church, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to Him, the Almighty God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in your infinite wisdom, you have made man. In our limited understanding, we have turned from you, but you have redeemed us through the blood of Christ. Help us not to rely on our own devices or understanding to live our lives, but to only rely upon you for guidance and strength, which we find in your word. We pray this in the name of Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. There is a certain belief that I'm sure many of you have heard as well, that seems to be growing more and more as the years pass by. And this belief goes like this: live your best life. And at first glance, this doesn't seem like such a bad thing. After all, who doesn't want to live their best life? You do what you want to do, and I'll do what I want to do, and everything will be right in the end. I mean, after all, isn't that what everyone wants? Isn't that what people in the world want for you as well? They want you to live your best life, truly and honestly. Live and let live, as the saying goes. But is it true? Do those around us, not our friends, not our family members, but strangers, do they desire that we live our best lives? What if their best life is coming into your home and taking your furniture, your chairs, your bed, or your car? We need these things to live our best lives, to sit down, to eat, to go to bed at night, not wake up with a sore back. We need our car to go to work and to go to school. Or, what if I decide that my best life is shoplifting? I see an expensive shirt on the rack. It's $50. That's a little too expensive for me. So I just take it home. What's the harm? It's not like that multi-million dollar corporation is going to miss that shirt. They're certainly not going to miss the $50. And I'm better off for it. Now I have a shirt, and I have $50 to spend on something I need. Or, if I, when I get married, I would like a new wife. Out with the old, in with the new. It's what's best for me. Or what if someone wrongs me in such a way that I think they deserve to die? It's what's best for me. It's what's best for my life. When we start to put it in those kinds of terms, we can really see how flawed this belief is. And if I desired to live such a life, I should be ashamed of myself. And anyone who does should be ashamed of themselves. For this belief is focused on the self. It's a very selfish way to live one's life. It is one that drives us into sin. Christ speaks of this in today's gospel reading. Anyone that seeks to live a good life through their own means will always, always end up sinning against God. For man is unable to produce good works, good fruit on his own and from within himself because of sin, because of our breaking of God's command to us. Christ says that man is only capable of defilement from within himself. Mankind is driven by passions And mankind is driven by lust to fulfill ways to satisfy the flesh. God knows this. He has witnessed this time and time again within scriptures. An excellent example comes from King David. We can see how his actions reflect this defilement from within. And we are all familiar with his adulterous actions with Bathsheba. But it's what follows these actions that truly demonstrate his defilement as a human. To hide his sin of adultery, David calls Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. He calls him home from war. And when Uriah gets there, he begins by making small talk with him, asking, "How's the war going? How's your commander? How are the men faring?" And after that, King David tells Uriah to go home to be with his wife in an attempt to cover up his sin. However, Uriah does not go home to his wife to sleep with his wife. Rather, he spends the night in David's servant's quarters. In the morning, David learns of this. He's told about this. And he asks Uriah. And Uriah's answer is very telling of his faithfulness. Uriah says that while the ark of God and the people of Israel remain in tents, and while his commander and his fellow soldiers are out in the field, he will never go home to his wife. Now this presents a new problem for David. His wheels are starting to turn. How can he fix the situation he's in? And his next course of action is to cause Uriah to sin by causing him to get drunk. And this too, this attempt also proves futile for David. Uriah, being ever faithful to his king and to his pledge that he has made, does not go home to sleep with his wife. Rather, he remains in the servants' quarters again. And no doubt by this time, David is frustrated. In fact, we know he is because King David sends Uriah back to war with a message to his commander. And this message said that while Uriah was in the heat of battle, all were to fall back, that Uriah would be slain by the enemy. And so it is done. And Uriah dies. And these actions do not go unnoticed. They go unnoticed by the people. But they do not go unnoticed by God. And God is displeased with David. Now, we could say that King David was simply trying to live his best life. But that's the problem with this belief. It opens the door to sin, which causes more sin, and which ultimately causes death. Either death of those around us, but ultimately our own death. For we have broken the commands of God. And while mankind is faithless toward God in this manner, he remains faithful to us. In fact, God's first faithful act of salvation to man was when he promised a savior to Adam and Eve when they ate from the tree of knowledge, which he commanded that they do not eat from. And when asked about this, much like David, they tried to cover their sin. First man blames woman, and then woman blames the serpent. But it was not the eating of the fruit that caused their defilement. Rather, it was the breaking of God's command that caused them to be defiled. They sought to gain wisdom from within themselves. They desired wisdom from God, wisdom like God, but they sought it from within themselves, which led to death. But despite this, God remained faithful to them. And he remains faithful to us as well. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to make atonement for us and for our faithlessness. While we were still sinners, Christ took upon himself our flesh, and he took upon himself all that comes with our flesh, our evil thoughts, our thieving ways, our murderous thoughts and actions, our adulteries and sexual immoralities, our utter wickedness, our foolishness. He took all these onto himself to become sin. He who knew no sin took our sins onto himself. He became our sins. And he has taken these sins, all of our sins, to the cross, that they may be put to death with him there. And his side was pierced, that his blood may flow over us, and that we may be washed clean in that blood. One could say that he lived our best lives for us, or at least the life we deserve. We deserve to be despised and rejected by all, not Christ. We deserve to be acquainted with sorrows and grief, not Christ. But instead, he bore our sorrows, he bore our griefs, he was smitten by God, and through his smiting, and through Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Our sins are forgiven. Jesus has done this to grant us our best lives. The life that he gives does not come from outside of us. It does not come from satisfaction of our hunger, of our thirst, of our flesh, but rather he satisfies our souls. He gives us salvation. He gives us unity and communion with the Father. And because Jesus has given us this, Satan seeks to rip it from our hands. When we lived in sin, he did not care. He probably actually enjoyed the show, watching us be foolish and wicked. But now that we are part of God's family, that we are saved, he seeks to steal that away from us. But because Satan seeks this from us, Jesus clothes us in truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and perhaps most importantly, he has given us his sword, his holy word, with which we can slay the evil one. These are his faithful acts to us when we were not faithful to him. But this is not all that he does. He also has given us prayer, that we may call upon him and call upon his name and praise. And that when these defiling actions come our way, we may be saved from them. And he has given us his sacraments. The Spirit rests upon us in our baptism. Through him, through the Spirit, we are given wisdom and understanding of God's holy word. We are sons and daughters of the Father now. We are able to discern between truth and lies. In the Lord's Supper, we are given Christ's very body and very blood, that he may dwell within us and that we may dwell within him as well. In his body and in his blood we are strengthened, that we may withstand the assaults of Satan. And because Christ lives within us now, our actions, our deeds, our thoughts and words, they are not of man, but they are of God. For nothing evil can come from God, only goodness and mercy and peace. And because Christ dwells within us, that is our action now. Though we are still sinful and we sin against God, we are righteous before him because Christ lives within us. We are partakers of salvation because of this, because Christ dwells within us. And through him, through Christ, we serve and we obey the Father, and we do his commandments with joy and with gladness. For God's commandments are not burdensome. In fact, they are easy: to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Those are the chief commandments. And because Christ lives within us now, we do it. We do it well, and we do it gladly. Our best lives are not lived by our own means, but by the careful and loving guidance of Jesus Christ within us, that we may glorify God both now and to life everlasting. Amen. Now may the Father of our lives guide us into steadfast faith with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit unto life everlasting. Amen.
Please rise for the stand. Thank you. Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We praise thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we may show forth thy praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, that walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days, we may enjoy the testimony of a good conscience and the hope of thy favor, be sustained and comforted under the troubles of this life, and finally be received into thine everlasting kingdom, through thine infinite mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. We offer unto thee our common supplications for the good estate of thy church throughout the world, that it may be so guided and governed by thy good spirit, that all who profess themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon all congregations committed to their charge the healthful spirit of thy grace, and that they may truly please thee, pour upon them the continual dew of thy blessing. Most heartily we beseech thee with thy favor to behold the President and Congress of the United States and all others in authority, and so to replenish them with thy grace, that they may always incline to thy will and walk in thy way. Prosper all good counsels and all just works, that peace and happiness, truth and righteousness, religion and piety may be established among us throughout all generations. We humbly entreat thee also for all sorts and conditions of men, that thou wouldst be pleased to make thy ways known unto them, thy saving health unto all nations. We also commend to thy fatherly goodness all those who are in any way afflicted or distressed in mind, body, or estate, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve them according to their several necessities, giving them patience under their sufferings and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. Especially Marvin Brody, Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolford, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Culla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, and Nikki Strait. Lord of the Church, as this congregation is in a time of pastoral vacancy, grant by your grace that Zion continually be fed by your word, which sustains them unto salvation. Holy Spirit, grant discernment to Zion's call committee. Guide them by your word as they seek out the next man to feed them with your word and blessed sacraments. Hear us, most merciful God, in these our humble requests, which we offer up unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all.
Thank you.
So just a couple of announcements. There's a couple of committees meeting today. The call committee is meeting at 1. And the anniversary committee is meeting right after church. So if you are part of those committees, please attend. A highlight coming up on September 19th, we will have a guest preacher, the Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia. He'll be here to give the sermon. So look forward to that. There's a Sunday school rally day, which will be 2 weeks from today. So the children's choir will be singing then. So if your child is in choir, let them know or bring them something. But I also have my own announcement. Over break, I got engaged to my girlfriend, so I am engaged to be married now. And I will invite you guys, of course, so there's that. That's the end of my announcement. I don't know how to end it. There you go. That's all. But thank you. God be with you guys.